Why, yes, it is time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks. It is Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Man, has a lot occurred since we last spoke to Brian. Of course, the matchup against Baylor, KU with the crazy awesome second half, dominating the Bears after a tough first half, and then the grinder, a meat grinder of a win on the road at TCU, 63-58. Grady Dick with 19. Jalen Wilson off night, doesn't faze the Jayhawks. I guess I'll just jump into the question right off the bat. I was going to say for later, Brian, but let's get people really engaged. Is KU right now the best team in America?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, they clearly have put themselves on a path to be the best team in the best conference in America. When you look at the other teams, like Purdue and Alabama and Houston, Houston looks really good, but they comparatively have not played anything close to the schedule that Kansas has. Alabama obviously has major off-the-court drama that could cost them a lottery pick talent, and we won't get into all that stuff today. But then Purdue has the most dominant big man and likely the guy who has the inside track for National Player of the Year ahead of Jalen Wilson. But what those four schools, including Texas, who's vying for the Big 12 supremacy with Kansas, what do they not have that Kansas does? Bill Self.
Yep.
And I think he makes that much of a difference. I really do. So are they the best team in America? When they played like they did in the second half versus Baylor, absolutely. We want to see Jalen be a little more consistent. He's gone through a few doldrums of shooting lows in the last 3 weeks. Not every game, but you want to get him going again. But the way other players have stepped into more prominent roles and really gained some individual confidence makes this a much more well-rounded team than the club we were talking about, leaving Ames that barely scored 50 and the starters outside of Jalen combined for 18. This team looks like they could go down to Houston in the Final Four. And from there, who knows? But, it's definitely rounding into what should be a top two or three national title contender come Selection Sunday. Will they be the number one overall national seed? I think if they win the league outright and don't go out early in Kansas City, there's a strong case to be made for them based on the number one strength of schedule, far and away the most quad one win by four over the next school. But there's some bracketologists out there that still have Kansas third or fourth in the pecking order. But they'll be piling up, another quad one win if they win on Saturday, a chance to get another signature win if they were to win in Austin. If you're on the table, to me, this is the number one overall national seed. So we'll see if they can do that these next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive what they've done recently. And let's go back to the Baylor game, because I was driving back with my family, listening to the game on the radio, listening to you and Greg. And, I mean, it was like Baylor was making everything. Keontae George was making threes from another zip code. And Kansas was down big, down 17. And then the second half, I got home in time to watch the second half, and to me it reminded of me a little bit of when I was there when KU played Oklahoma State early in the year. KU didn't have anything going first half. Oklahoma State was making threes. You thought, law of averages, they'll start missing some threes. Kansas needs to dial it up defensively. The crowd really helped spur them on in that game, and within about 6-7 minutes, KU erased a 15-point deficit against Oklahoma State, and it was a dogfight all the way to the end, and KU prevailed by two. This one was a little bit different from the standpoint that it wasn't, like the Oklahoma State game, it was kind of like a 6-7 minute stretch where they're right back in the game, and then it was, okay, even Steven, let's battle it out. The Baylor game, Brian, was just flat out, hey, we're going to play great. We're going to erase that big deficit. Not only are we going to erase that deficit, we're going to turn it into a 12-point lead, then eventually, what was it, a 16 or 18-point lead in the second half, and go on to win fairly easily by 16. That's one of the best halves of basketball that I've seen in a while, and I know Bill Self even compared it to the second half against Miami in Elite Eight last year where KU played so well.
And this is a much better team that they were up against than Miami. No offense to Miami. Obviously,
sure,
it's a bigger stage in the United Center in Chicago at the Elite Eight. But to me, and Coach and I don't agree on this, to me, that performance, when you add in the fact that ESPN Game Day started the day, you got half your national championship team back watching the game, sitting right behind the bench, and then you go on this incredible comeback that's just a handful of points away from being the biggest halftime deficit erased at home, and then you almost win by the same number going the other direction. As you said, they got it all the way up to an 18-point lead at one point, but ended up winning by 16. To me, that winds up being one of the top five or six most memorable days in a Bill Self era in Allen Fieldhouse. Obviously, you still put triple overtime versus Oklahoma ahead of it. You put the 14-point comeback in the final 242 versus West Virginia ahead of it. And obviously, you put the Missouri game because it was the last as league rivals and had a comparable comeback ahead of it. But when you go from outhouse to penthouse and then almost beat them by as many as they had you down, with all of the other hoopla and circumstance that was going on around the fieldhouse that day with ESPN having the national spotlight on us, to me, that's a pretty special day. Now, having said all that, Coach much preferred Monday night because the way his mind works, you know, he said, you fans, you announcers, you like the artistic, pretty basketball with, you know, all these big highlights. He's like, I want to see our guys go grind one out. And for a month, maybe a month and a half, he's been saying, I want to see our guys win because they made somebody else play bad. And just ugly it up, defend so hard, the other team can't score. And they go into TCU, who is back at full strength, at least close to it, with Mike Miles and Eddie Lampkin both healthy, and they hold them to 30% shooting and just absolutely grind one out on a day when you didn't have your number one scorer hitting like you normally would. You found a way through defense and toughness. And, you know, those were Bill Self calling cards. So, unequivocally, without a shadow of a doubt, he preferred Monday to Saturday. But you know what? We're just blessed to win in both regards, and I guess we can split hairs on which one we like more. But that was certainly a great follow-up. When you consider this was 48 hours after all of that on Saturday and the quick turnaround and travel and all that, it makes Monday even more impressive as well.
Yeah, and let's talk about that game against TCU. I mean, the one thing that stands out to me, and I said it after the win on Monday, is that why I think Kansas is the best team in America right now is because, one, there is no dominant team, as you pointed out. I mean, Alabama's had every team in the top has had struggles. They've lost when they immediately became number one. They've lost three in a row, lost three out of four. UConn, I think, lost five out of six when they were ranked number two and then fell off the planet and then came back. But the thing that stands out to me about Kansas is they can beat you in different ways. And these two games that you just referred to me, it proved the point. Baylor, they won by scoring 87 points, and it was kind of more of an up-and-down game and lots of three-pointers. And they won a game against Texas scoring 88, up-and-down game, and Jalen Wilson scores two in that one. And you turn around and you go to TCU, not a lot of rest. You make a road trip to Fort Worth, a team that waxed you early in the year, and you go down and you put the clamps on them, and especially on Mike Miles, and you hold them to 58, and you win a meat grinder of a game. If you can win in different ways, that makes you more dangerous, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it absolutely does. I think the versatility in which Kansas can beat you in a multitude of ways makes you much more difficult to scout, to plan for. The fact that, you know, that they can look like a high-level, high-octane offense that'll blow anybody out of the gym one night and then lock you down with, you know, two guys that are amongst the best five defensive players in the conference the next. And I thought Kevin McCullough's two-block sequence with the tie-up on the end of it inside the last 25 seconds was the defensive player of the year, play of the year for Kansas to this point. And a big part of his candidacy for National Defensive Player of the Year, which he won't likely win, but he's a finalist, and he deserves it, man. He's special. Coach Self saying he never thought he'd coach somebody else that had Marcus Garrett's defensive IQ, but this young man absolutely does. He said, this dude does, and that's a bad man. And I thought, how cool is that? So to me, yes. You know, seeing the multitude of ways in which they can win. And as Coach Self said, you know, the type of game we played on Monday is the type of game that you always have one or two of in the tournament when you got to win six in a row to win it all. You're going to have one of those six and sometimes twice where you don't have your fastball, so to speak, and you got to find other ways. And it's survive and advance type basketball like we saw the other night that makes Coach think this team really can possibly defend the national championship.
It's crazy to think after all the talent the KU lost a year ago. You know, we talk about Harrison McCullough. What a luxury it is to have those guys and just say, hey, let's lock down these two guys or their best two players. And of course, Baylor, when they made that switch and by not switching against Cryer and Flagler. But I think the possession that stood out to me, Brian, was 61-58. Wilson misses the front end of a 1-1. TCU needs a three, although they could have got a quick two. And I forgot who the guard was who drove baseline. And a lot of times you'll see people overhelp in those situations, even though you know you're up three, you could give up the two, and you come off a key guy. And Harris stuck with Miles. Everybody for KU stayed home. Like, to me, that's coaching, but it's also the players buying in and respecting what the coaches have to say and doing what they tell you to do. And that was big because they didn't get off any kind of good shot.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's coaching. It's also natural instinct. Some guys have it, some guys don't. I'll be honest. I mean, there's some days I'm watching practice and I'm thinking, you know, we switch all the ball screens. We switch constantly most games. And sometimes, you know, knowing when to commit to the switch and when to switch back and knowing when to, you know, flash high versus stay down low if you've got a big interior post presence, there's a lot of scouting report that goes into that. Sometimes I wonder, in a moment's notice, can our guys really grasp everything they throw at them? Some guys don't, and yet you've got guys like McCullough, who Bill Self said a month ago covers the sins of multiple teammates. Yes. on you know, a one trip down the floor. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, it's not that we play an overly complex style of defense, but there's a lot to think about in this Kansas defense, as well as their coach, and as detailed as the scouting reports are and all of that. And when you've got natural defensive instincts on when to force a certain angle or when to back off just enough to force him to drive it based on scouting report tendencies, the fact that McCullough sees all that, and Juan does to a certain degree as well, but we're talking mostly about Kevin here, that really allows the full five on the floor to be more imposing than anything close to what they'd be without him. And I think the best way I can describe it is, I know you're a big Netflix and chill guy with Mrs. Gershner.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably watched The Queen's Gambit back in the day.
Sure.
You remember the chess show on Netflix where she would lay in bed and she would look at the ceiling and she could, like, play out 7 or 8 chess moves, like seeing the board unfold without, you know, having to physically move anything. I'm not saying McCullough plays 7 or 8 passes ahead, but I'm saying he sees things long before they materialize, and he can anticipate certain things, not just based on scouting report, but based on natural instinct that is unlike any other person we've got, and is rare to the point of maybe 4 or 5 guys in the last 20 years see it like that. And so that's pretty special right there. And when you're talking about Marcus Garrett comparison to Bill Self, says hands down is and will always be the best defender he ever coached, that's pretty high company to put him in the same sentence with Marcus.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Of course, it's a huge week. It was a huge week. Every week's a huge week in the Big 12. KU and Texas tied atop the Big 12 standings at 11-4. A lot of things would have to happen crazy for K-State or Baylor to have a shot at this. So it looks like it's now a 2-team race, and KU plays in Austin, close out the regular season on March the 4th. You said to us last week, big week, if you can get the win against Baylor, get a win at TCU, now you've got not gimmies, but a little bit, you're feeling pretty good. Allen Fieldhouse, the crowd, you're at home against West Virginia on Saturday at 3:00. Texas Tech comes to town on Tuesday. That's a home game as well. You can't overlook anybody in this conference, certainly, but knowing how good KU is at home for the most part, you would think that they'll win the next two, and it could very well come down to a game at Texas to either decide the outright champion, or it could be a matter of KU saying, are we going to share this thing, or are we going to have it outright? But one step at a time. West Virginia has played some good basketball as of late, and Texas Tech is making a push to say, hey, we should be in the NCAA tournament. They've had some really good wins lately, but both of those are at home. What are your thoughts on those two matchups coming up?
Well, I think that what makes it scary is both of those teams have played so well and climbed high enough that they're now within striking distance, but they're still desperate to be on, you know, the right side of the NCAA bubble. Many feel like West Virginia, you know, is maybe 1 or 2 wins away. Nothing would bolster the resume more than winning in a place Bob Huggins has never won with his Mountaineers in all his seasons at West Virginia. And if Kansas, you know, can fend them off, then you got another hungry team that's desperate coming in on Tuesday. And I know KU hasn't lost on a senior day in 40 years, so that tends to make you think that you're going to be okay too. But just keep in mind, the fact that they still have a chance at the NCAA tournament, I think, makes the buy-in, the want-to, and the intensity ratcheted up tremendously for both those teams. It's been nice to watch them upset some clubs, and upset of Texas was a huge help to Kansas, but you kind of hope they were still way too far out of it to make some noise in the final week and a half. But they're right there on the doorstep, so that'll be interesting. But having said that, having given you that PSA, all right, public service announcement on what you have to be worrisome about, let's talk about what's most likely. What's most likely for a Kansas coach that's won 95% of his home games is that in taking on the eighth and ninth place teams in the league, you're going to win both these games. What's most likely for Texas, who has to go to Baylor and to TCU, is that they would drop one of those games. The most likely odds maker scenario is that Texas will go 1-1 in the next two games and will go 2-0. And if that's the case, then you clinch a share on senior night versus Texas Tech and trot out all 17 trophies of Big 12 titles in 20 years of Bill Self. And then, you know, the game on Saturday is for the outright championship. It doesn't mean quite as much. It doesn't have as much pressure as if both teams go 2-0. Now, could Texas go 2-0? Absolutely. They beat the dog out of Iowa State the other night, and I thought that was a really impressive statement made. But to me, if I'm a gambling man, and I'm not, I would think they go 1-1 and Kansas goes 2-0 before we talk next.
Yeah, that would be how I would play it as well. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And who knows? I mean, the way this conference is going, who would be shocked if Texas loses both those games? I mean, it could. Everybody talking about everybody's going to go 11-7. We could be in at the end of this thing. KU might end up being 14-4 and win this thing outright by two games,
which would be crazy.
Yes,
that would be nuts. And yeah, you know, we were talking about 13-5 wins it outright. 12-6 is probably a three way tie. You know, now it's looking like 13-5 is a share. You know, so these two teams really rose to the top, as the cream often does. But Kansas in particular has caught fire when it mattered most. And we probably shouldn't be surprised based on how Bill Self always seems to do it. But knowing that this was a uniquely difficult Big 12 conference year makes it all the more impressive.
Absolutely. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you. I was thinking about this the other day. Kids are on their phones so much nowadays, and all of us adults are too, to be quite honest. But back in the day, we didn't have phones all the time. Didn't have our own personal cell phone. So we had to, on a cold, windy day, or if it was snowing, you had to do something inside. Family time, which was fun. We would play board games, Brian, where there was card games, board games. What's an underrated board game, or what was your favorite board game when there were no other options?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, my grandpa and I had some pretty competitive battles of Connect Four back in the day. I know that's not exactly a board game, but I love it. You talk about seeing three moves ahead. You know, that was definitely a game of strategy and forecasting multiple moves ahead. So we love that one. I don't know. You know, trying to make it sports related, but I don't know that I had any board games, because I kind of grew up in the video game era where it flipped pretty fast in the mid-'80s to all of a sudden you're playing RBI baseball and Double Dribble and Super Tecmo Bowl when it came to sports. But true board games, probably Connect Four was my favorite. I had Hungry Hungry Hippos, which was pretty action-packed with all those little marbles flying around. But, yeah, beyond that, you're probably looking for a Candyland-type answer or something like that. And that wasn't as huge in the Haney household as maybe the others. So I don't have as much for you on that one. What was your pick?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that, because my answer is Stratego. I don't know if you ever played it, but it was kind of a war game, and you needed to be, it was a little bit like chess, you needed to be three or four moves ahead. And it's so ironic that you brought up the analogy of being ahead of the game like Kevin McCullough, seeing things ahead of time. That's what that game is about. And I always did well in it. Like, I hardly ever lost in that game. But then I played Parcheesi against my sister, and I lost every single time. I don't know if you know of any of those games, but there were certain games I would do great, and there are certain games I just had no chance at. And Rummy Cube is the game that everybody hates playing me in, because I win almost all the time because, well, I probably cheat by taking a little bit longer on my turn to try to get some extra chips out.
Nice.
Have you played any of those three? Have you played any of those three?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I wouldn't say I'm on your level at any of them, but we'll, one of these days we'll get together and have a battle royale of all skills competition.
By the way, a few weeks ago, my youngest, my wife and I, we were bored one night, and there was a Hungry Hippo, and my kid found it, and we did play Hungry Hippo, believe it or not, a couple weeks ago. So,
I mean, it was action-packed, you know?
Yes.
So there's a lot going on with that game. It's not, you know, snooze fest like some of these other ones where you're just rolling a dice and drawing cards.
That's exactly right. No doubt, man. Well, yeah. Anything to pass the time. That's what we do. I grew up in Western Kansas. There wasn't a lot around me, so we had to make our own fun. That's how that worked. Hey, man, appreciate the time as always. Have a great call the next two games. Hopefully a couple of wins. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Sounds great, buddy. We'll see you then.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.
state, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.